You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast with Alex Dunn and Gordon Brown with you to look ahead to the best of Monday's racing. Something for everybody on Monday. There's action at Redcar, Suttle and Toaster in the afternoon. Leicester, Windsor and over the Irish Sea at Roscommon in the evening. We're going to look at a race each from Toaster, Redcar, Leicester and Windsor and hopefully have a winner or two. Mr. Gordon Brown, how are you?
I'm very well, Mr. Dunn. On this, I'd like to say sunny Sunday, but it's not really, is it?
Yeah, a bit overcast today, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's the way it is. It's, you know, you feel sorry for some of these horses that some of them come in the coats and had that nice couple of weeks, and now it's gone cold and wet. But it's just a, what you call a typical British spring.
It is indeed, and my mind goes back to this time last week when I was running Leeds Half Marathon, and it was baking hot, and I'd have quite liked it to have been rather overcast today.
I'm so glad that half marathon was last week because I wasn't here when I'm here today, and I got parked okay, and the roads aren't closed.
Typical Gordon. We'll start by looking back just briefly at Saturday's action. Of course, the Lockinch went to Knight of Thunder, first run for, well, first run in the colours of Godolphin. And to be honest, did it really quite nicely. It was a horse that I wasn't crazy about at the price, returned 11-4 joint favourite, but is a horse that really hasn't done a great deal wrong so far in his career, has he?
He hasn't. And I'll tell you what, the race itself, it's the biggest field in the 57-year history of this race because of a massive increase in prize money by the sponsor. A mile Group 1. I've always loved the Lockinch. Some good horses have won it down through the years. Cape Cross, Fly to the Star. And, of course, Knight of Thunder joins that illustrious role of honour. First win since winning the Guineas last year. First ever runner for Richard Hannon for Godolphin. He's got all those good horses and all those good Arabs and the Middle East owners in his yard now, and that's the way that the Godolphin are going to go now. Instead of having their own trainers, they're going to keep the horses with the trainer that actually nurtured its career. And in the case of Knight of Thunder, Richard Hannon, who won the Guineas with the horse, he only won by a neck from stable companion Tourmore, as you say, sent off 11-4 joint favourite. A lot of people didn't think that was a value for money price. He only won by neck, but as I say, it's the first time James Doyle's ridden him, and he thought if he had to ride the race again, he would have sat longer, and therefore the winning margin would have been greater. But I think he will come on for the run. Richard Hannon's on record as saying that. He's probably now going to be set to go to the Queen Anne Stakes. A fantastic first day, one of the features in Royal Ascot. Tourmore will probably join him in that race. That looks like being a really good race. The pair of them will lock horns again. And then I think Richard Hannon is on record this morning saying he could well go abroad for some pot hunting during the summer and maybe end up back at Goodwood late summer for the Sussex Stakes. So, no, I like the performance of Knight of Thunder. It generally is a very good race, this, and it's usually a good horse that wins it, and I think you could say that about Knight of Thunder.
And, of course, beating Tourmore and A-Rod's, it's very, very solid form. You know, there's no rags in there.
No.
But as well, you mentioned the fact that there were so many runners. I think we offered four places each way in a Lockinch. If you'd have said that a few years ago when there were, what, 8, 9 runners, you'd have thought, hang on, what's going on here?
Well, less. 4, 5, and 6 runners. I mean, I remember one year, Heavy Ground, I think it was only 5 or 6 runners. I mean, as I say, it's always a good race. I like these Group 1 spectacles over the straight mile, and of course it'll be a straight course at Ascot, the Queen Anne Stakes as well. So as you say, I think the form stack up, and I mean, you have a Guineas winner winning the race, you know, so classic form, cream coming to the top.
You mentioned as well Godolphin keeping their horses with the trainer that nurtured them. I'd say that's probably the right way to go about things. Often you see a horse that has sort of grown up in a smaller yard, if you like, and then just almost becomes a number more than anything else for these, you know, bigger yards.
Yeah, I think it's a, you know, they're a wee bit behind. Godolphin tend to be quite forward thinking in a lot of things, but they're behind the times in that sort of thing. JP McManus, to name but one, buys a horse and keeps it with the trainer, be it Lucinda Russell, Ben Haslam, well, obviously John Janiel's his main man, but he buys a horse very
often, stays
with the original trainer, who, as you said, nurtured its success. So I think it's a tried and trusted method. And Godolphin, for many things that they do that's ahead of the game, they're late jumping on that bus.
Mm. Also yesterday, Ryan Moore with a five-timer.
Yeah.
Sensational, isn't he?
He is amazing. And William Buick had four, remember, in the afternoon at, was it Newmarket?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, famous five for Moore. It was a bad enough day for the bookmakers, including us here at William Hill, but it's always going to be a bad day when a big-name jockey like him rides a lot of winners, particularly on a Saturday or be at one of the festival meetings. So nearly 2,000-to-1 five-timer.
Well, that's the thing, that they would sort of fancied but still a big enough price, if that makes sense. All sort of second favourites but around 4-to-1, 5-to-1 in hindsight are very easy to find fivefold, but
I was reading in the Racing Post that some of the bookmakers saying now Tony McCoy's retired, the public are latching on Ryan Moore. I think that's stretching it a wee bit, because in the case of Tony McCoy, number one, it was jumping and not flat, and number two, he did stand head and shoulders above, you know, all the others. Everyone's got the favourite jockey, but most people might have followed McCoy. Whereas in the case of Ryan Moore, I know he gets the mantle of being the world's greatest jockey, and who am I to disagree with that? But, you know, there are jockeys that the other, you know, on the flat, there's him, there's Buick, there's Doyle, there's quite a lot of them punters all like to follow. But if you were a Ryan Moore follower on Saturday, you're certainly in the money.
Absolutely. You mentioned a bad day for the bookies. A bad day on Friday for Cathy Gannon, who tweeted a picture of the food at Newbury and has promptly been fined for it.
I know Cathy pretty well. The food, if you look at the picture of it, it's disgusting. I don't even know what it is, to be honest. It's the carcass of a chicken and the other stuff looks like a veggie dish that the dog would turn his nose up at. In a nutshell, she's come in looking for a bite to eat. Apparently chicken, roast chicken, the nutritionist said it's a very good, healthy type of low-fat snack, if you like, having a pick at a chicken leg or a bit of breast, and it's got protein, and the dietitians say that's the sort of thing these athletes should be putting in the body. She come back, and as you saw by the pictures, there's just a carcass left that should have been replaced. Newbury have said it shouldn't have happened. They have spoken to Cathy. I think everybody's, you know, taken forward from what happened the other day. It went viral, apparently, the tweet. Whatever that means in this modern era, Alec. But I know Cathy Ganning pretty well. She would not make anything up and have a storm in a teacup. And I think it's interesting that I think a lot of the jockeys are very much on her side, and they had a whip around. Did you know that?
Yes, I've seen
To pay for the, was it 290 quid fine?
It was, yeah.
Which is probably, given all the jockeys that were riding yesterday, so we're about 50 pence each or something, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
So I think, generally, I think that, and I mean, Newbury apparently isn't the worst place by far, so I think Newbury got it in the neck on Friday because it just happened to be the way things happen. Apparently this fridge was well stocked with cold snacks, prawn things, and you know, it was just the fact that Cathy fancied a bit of chicken and they want any left, so I think it's KFC next time for
Right, we'll move on to Monday's racing then. As I said, something for everyone. We've got a jumps race to kick us off, and then three on the flats, two in the afternoon and two in the evening, so you name it, we've got it. We'll start at Toaster with the 340. It's a handicap hurdle over almost 2.5 miles, 9 runners down to go to post, and a few of these arrive here in decent nick, Gordon.
Yeah, looking at the form from Toaster and the ground, I mean, we could be in for quite an interesting race here, because for once it's not that testing at Toaster. They'll still have to face the hill, but as you say, quite a few of them coming in reasonable nick. Looking at the markets, well, you're probably looking at Knight Bachelor and Mala Tree being up there, towards the forefront of the market. Mala Tree for David Dennison, no feelies, likely to be the pace angle. It was beaten a fair way in a 2.5 handicap hurdle back in April, but it has winning form. You think maybe the handicap has got its grip after those two wins earlier on in the season. Knight Bachelor could be the one for me. Warren Greatrick's horse is in great form. Gavin Sheen, of course, riding for the yard, fresh from winning the World Hurdle, remember, at the Cheltenham Festival. And that's lightly raced in this sort of grade, and it's stepping up a furlong. I beg your pardon, it's coming back about half a furlong after finishing in second place, not beaten very far actually at Wincanton. So lightly raced novice on the way up. I'm going to go for Knight Bachelor to win. Mala Tree will probably run its race, but I have a feeling it's in the grip of the handicap of Place Prospects maybe.
Okay, so Knight Bachelor pick there at Toaster. We'll move to the flat then, to Redcar, for the 350, a handicap over 5 furlongs, 9 runners down to go to post. quite a few in-form sprinters here, Gordon, and those that aren't in-form, they're the kind of types that can bounce back pretty quickly. It's got an open look to it, this race.
It has an open look to it, and as you say, nine runners. Again, quickish ground for a handicap over the flying five at Redcar. Map in time, Rachel Richardson takes a handy seven off Tim Easterby's map in time, but it hasn't won in Turf for a while. I know a lot of people will fancy that to run well. Desert Law, the top weight for Paul Midgley. His horse is just beginning to hit a little bit of form. That kept on to finish third at York when it was, where were we, that was just the other day, 4 days ago at Desert Law. The one I like, actually, is John Quinn's Noble Asset. Went into winter quarters of a couple of wins last back end. Hasn't done a lot wrong this season as Noble Asset. And a very good effort, I thought, on similar ground when finishing second at Doncaster in April. That was its second run of the season. I think it'll be more race fit now. Phil Makin's a jockey I like. He rides a lot for Quinny, and he also rides for Keith Dalglish. He's kept himself busy, 9/8 within his compass as well, and I think Noble Asset is primed to strike, and with those two runs under his belt, five is a draw. I don't think it matters too much. The stalls are normally in the centre of the course, the straight track at Redcar. Noble Asset, drawn five, number five. All the fives. Hope it doesn't finish fifth.
Noble Asset, the pick then at Redcar. We'll move to the evening action then, and the 7:45 from Leicester, a handicap over the extended mile. Eight runners going to post, and plenty that we don't know much about here, Gordon, but plenty who arrive here off the back of a win.
Yeah, you're saying that Goring, a winner last time at Beverley. We've got third time Lucky, who I saw win at Musselburgh in April for Richard Fahey. The one I like is Mukarid for Saeed Binsaroor and Paul Hannigan. Made a winning start in handicap company, won successful over seven furlongs at Leicester last time. Stepping up a furlong here, I think there's plenty of scope for improvement. Paul Hannigan, we all know about him, and I would imagine Mukarid is definitely going the right way. He actually came from off the pace, and I think he was value for more than the half-length win last time. Possibly of the others, and I've mentioned that we've got Goring and third time Lucky with winning form. Andretti won a couple of races last back end, including at Wolverhampton in October, over slightly further than this. So that could be interesting for Roger Varian and Freddie Tilicki. And just to add further spice, Pacify, we talked about horses in winning form. One run on the board so far, and it was a winning one when he scrambled home by a neck at Kempton last November, having his first go in handicap company here. Occult's another interesting contender in that he's trained by John Gosden and ridden by Ryan Moore, a handicap debutant. But on those that I've seen and read about, Mukarid has the form in the book, and I'd be amazed if there wasn't more improvement in the locker after that win over seven furlongs at Leicester last time.
Okay, Mukarid, the pick then in Leicester, 7:45. The final race that we're going to look at is Windsor's 8:05. It's a handicap over almost a mile and a half. Just the seven going to post here, Gordon, and not much recent winning form between them.
No, not much recent winning form, and perhaps the best form, and it's not recent, was Pilgrim's Rest's form last season. And he tailed off towards the end of the season, but he went well fresh early doors with a couple of seconds at Chester and York. I think he's pretty well handicapped here. George Baker's the trainer. He's off bottom weight with Pat Cosgrave on board. So if he can come to hand and show the form he showed this time last year, he has to be top of the shortlist. And the other one from the opposite end of the handicap is Warrior of Light. He ran really well at Doncaster on his first run back, this four-year-old. This is Ted Durkin and David Lanigan. A hold-up type of horse, so they'll be looking for a bit of pace here. There's other hold-up horses such as Goodwood Mirage and Black Shadow. The pace angle, incidentally, will probably be Kingdom for Gary Moore and Hector Crouch, the apprentice. So going back to Warrior of Light, good effort from a hold-up ride to finish quite strongly behind Razor Wind at Doncaster over a mile and a quarter. Stepping up a furlong and a half here, Warrior of Light could probably go pretty close, but Pilgrim's Rest, I'm relying on this horse reappearing as he did last year in good form.
Okay, Pilgrim's Rest then, the pick in Windsor's 8:05. Great stuff, Gordon. Best of luck with your picks all over the country tomorrow.
Thank you.
And we'll catch up with you soon.
Will do.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.